KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a trade war looming after the U.S. kicked off tariffs today, 25% for goods from Mexico and Canada, and China goods hiked to 20%. ABC's Alexis Christophorus says Americans already struggling with inflation could see higher prices.
Target's CEO came out today and warned that prices at his stores will probably rise in the coming days in the food aisles. If you're in the market for a new car, these tariffs could add at least $3,000 to the price tag of a new car. That's because Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. share supply chains when it comes to cars.
Tonight, President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress outlining his economic agenda that includes sweeping federal cuts and layoffs. Today, rallies from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, protesting against Elon Musk and the Doge team's dismantling of key programs. In Rome, Pope Francis continues to battle pneumonia. The Vatican says Pope Francis has had no new respiratory crises, but will sleep with a ventilator. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing increases in fees for fish and game and wildlife licenses in his biennial budget proposal. Under the proposal, the price for most of the licenses and tags would increase by $10 to $20. Some of those increases would essentially double the cost for specific licenses, including resident deer, resident small game, and resident trapping. DNR officials say the last time license fees were increased for residents was in 2005. Governor Evers' last biennial budget increased fees for non-residents only. Green Bay Alderman Chris Weary, who has served the city for 23 years, says he will announce his resignation at the council meeting tonight. Weary, in a social media post, said he's moving from his district to a home where he can better take care of his wife, who has MS, and his mother, who is also dealing with health issues. His last day with the city will be May 6th. People who wish to serve the remainder of his term will be able to apply for the position, and the city council will vote on a replacement at a later date. President Donald Trump's tariffs have officially taken effect, and these tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma dealing with a sprained right ankle after accidentally stepping on the foot of Giannis Antetokounmpo during Saturday's game in Dallas. But Kuzma pleased they've won six of their last seven games.
You know, we're moving in the right direction, and we've had some hiccups. That's to be expected, but you know, I had a coach in the past. He's always said that the regular season is just rehearsal for the playoffs. That's just the approach that we kind of have to have, and obviously you want to win, and every game is going to have a different challenge.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Reds 5-4 in Cactus League action. Left-hander Aaron Ashby had to leave the game with apparently a strained oblique muscle. The Brewers have signed veteran lefty Jose Quintana to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers agreeing to a two-year deal with linebacker Isaiah McDuffie, worth around $9 million with incentives. McDuffie, a sixth-round pick for Green Bay 5 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Rain rolls in this afternoon and ramps up tonight, bringing around 1 to 2 inches of rainfall, which could cause some localized flooding or ice jams on rivers. Starts to mix with snow tomorrow morning, flipping to all snow by the afternoon. Accumulations look light, around 1 to 2 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Well, Dom Salvia is still not here, but he is on his way back. However, for today, you're stuck with me, his producer, Jess P.S., and I am jazzed as hell to introduce my co-host for the day, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Harvey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay and doing all the better for having finally met you yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. What a spoil. We were supposed to save that until something good.
Oh, well, I decided I was too eager. I wanted to make it clear that you and I are not strangers to each other.
That is true. That is true. I had the absolute delight to actually meet you in person, give you two big hugs, and have an unfortunately short but still delightful conversation together as you were on your way back up to Green Bay.
Yeah, right. From St. Louis to Green Bay with Milwaukee, a stop in Bayview at, I hope it's all right to mention it.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite Milwaukee spot.
Yes.
Cafe Central.
Absolutely. Well, welcome today to the Dom Salvia Show. Normally our Monday guest today joining me for the entire 2 hours. You too can join us, our fair audience, by calling or texting at 855-752-4842. We welcome your participation today as every day. Things will just be run slightly different today as I am also producing this show. So that means screening calls is going to be slightly more difficult, but it will still happen. You will still join us on the show. We welcome your participation. Today, man, Harvey, there have been just a couple of things going on in the world.
Just a couple.
So for today, we're going to take a look. Especially, this is an article that you had sent to me that was really, really fantastic that we're going to do a deep dive into. Truth in a time of lies. Absolutely important at any time that we value truth, that we seek truth, and especially so when truth is under attack. So we're going to spend a good bit of time going through this, talking about the importance of truth. And frankly, where we can find it, where we can engage in it. And then we've also got a couple other topics of conversation for today about what this real conflict is in the world. Is it between Democrats and Republicans or is it something else? We'll get there. As well as in a time when many of us are feeling powerless, what can we do? And where can we look to for guidance and history? Something that, Harvey K., I know you can help us with. But before we get into that, Harvey K., I know who you are, but can you reintroduce yourself just a little bit to the audience as you are going to be going with us throughout the entire day today? Who are you?
Okay, for a start, I'll say right up front, I'm Harvey K., and I've been here in Wisconsin for, must be 45 years now. I grew up in the New York City area, mostly on the Jersey side of the Hudson River. I studied history, politics, and sociology in the course of my BA, MA, and PhD. And I came out of graduate school in the mid-70s, so I'm now 75 years old. So I have not only history on my side, I have experience on my side, you might say. Anyway, I came to Wisconsin. Actually, I was eager to come to Wisconsin. When I came out with my PhD in the 70s, the University of Wisconsin was without question the best university system in the United States.
Is that so? Of all state systems.
Now, they had just before I arrived in the state, they had merged the Wisconsin State University and the University of Wisconsin into one system. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, it was Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Parkside. That was the UW. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin State University system were the other campuses from Superior to La Crosse and Platteville and Oshkosh. Well, you have the idea. The schools that basically that had come out of the teacher training college mm-hmm. background, the normal schools they were once called. Well, anyhow, they became one system, and this was the best. And I say that knowing that when I applied to come to Wisconsin, and I specifically wanted to come to Green Bay because this was the once upon a time the experimental campus of the UW system.
What was experimental about it?
What was experimental? So usually universities, they have departments based mm-hmm. on disciplines. So in the humanities, things like philosophy and literature, in the social sciences, political science, economics, sociology, and in the sciences, biology, chemistry, geology, and so on. UW Green Bay was set up in a sort of inside-out fashion, or another way of putting it is there were no traditional discipline departments. The departments were interdisciplinary, problem-focused. So when I came to UW Green Bay, the program I came to was social change and development, which was my major field at the time. Mm-hmm. Eventually, probably 30 years into my career here, our department had changed, the personnel had changed, our interests had changed, and we became the program titled Democracy and Justice. So we did the pre-law program, we did international studies, we did American studies, we did women's studies, that kind of thing within the context of American democratic questions. Mm-hmm. So it was heaven to be at UW Green Bay all of those years because I never really wanted to identify with one discipline, though I will say, this will be the immodest part of what I'm about to say, is that I've authored and edited 18 books, and my work has almost always been grounded in the American in historical studies. Mm-hmm. So even when they were works of politics, they were historically grounded, or if they were works of cultural studies, they were historically grounded. So my reputation, people know me as a historian, but it's also the case that I did get degrees in political science and sociology in preparation for this. And I loved it at the university. The only reason I retired was the pandemic. I love doing things online. I love doing shows online, the whole panoply of things online. I did not want to teach masses of students online.
Well, as someone who started teaching during the pandemic, I will tell you, that was hard. And now, granted, I only had 11 students my first year teaching, but it was completely virtual and it was incredibly, incredibly difficult. So I respect that. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies.
I'll just add one other thing. I have been a Packers fan since I was 10 years old, and I won't go through the whole story.
Since you were 10 years old.
Since I was 10 years old.
What drew you to the Packers, though, even if you don't want to tell the whole story?
Oh, okay, then I will tell the story very quickly. So my father was part of that World War II generation, and we were living out in Paramus, New Jersey. And he and his buddies decided they were going to take the kids to a Giants football game at Yankee Stadium, New York mm-hmm. Giants football game, when they used to play in Yankee Stadium. My family was historically associated as fans and in other ways with the Brooklyn Dodgers, who had left Brooklyn for Los Angeles by the time of this story in 1960. But I hated any team that played in Yankee Stadium. So when the Giants played, it didn't matter they were playing football. I didn't like them.
Out of principle.
My father and I, we went to the game. My father was a big fan of the Packers. Not only the Packers, but he was a big fan of the Packers. And when we got to the game, it was Packers and Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had to root for the Packers because they weren't the Giants.
Because they weren't the Giants. That so, they are not. That they are not.
Right. And then in the 60s, the Packers were just such an exciting and dynamic team. It was easy to become a Packers fan. But it was amazing that I should end up here. It was like serendipity to end up here.
Sometimes that's just how the dice roll.
Yeah. So anyhow, green and gold, although my favorite color is blue, green and gold are my favorite sports colors.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, joining me, Jess P.S., producer of The Dom Salvia Show, as we cover one last day without Dom, who is making his way back to Wisconsin as we record this episode. He will be joining us back live in the studio tomorrow. Goodness, that man. Leaving for a full week.
What's funny is... He was staying not in the exact same place, but in the exact same town that I was staying in.
Yeah,
for
the two of
weeks.
You sort of ships in the night passed each other.
I didn't even know he was going to be there. In fact, when he told me he was coming down, he said, any chance we can overlap and get together. But I was literally flying out of Florida when he was flying in.
Exactly.
So, anyhow, but I did leave him some key lime pie to devour.
Like you left it just like at a street corner with a note that says for
that
Dom.
Was it.
Yep.
That
very was good.
For,
very
for
good.
Dom.
Well, today we've got a full show stocked for you all. And if you want to get in on the action, join us in this conversation, please do call or text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to be talking about truth. Truth in a time of lies, as well as what we can do. Now, tonight, there is a scheduled speaking event. It's not quite a State of the Union, though it's being billed as similar to a State of the Union, where the 47th president of these United States will deliver an address to a joint session of Congress. There will be coverage of that on civic media, as there frequently is for these such events. However, if you're not quite feeling it, there will be an alternative event hosted by the 5051 movement, which we'll be discussing later in the show, as well as giving you a place where you can watch this alternative We the People's State of the Union later in the show as well. Today, we will be discussing a historical set of States of the Union. Join us today as we talk about truth, talk with you, talk with each other, because it does matter. As we are inundated with lies from the people who should be leading this country, truth matters. So join us, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He knows a thing or two about this crazy experiment that we call democracy. And I am Jess P.S., producer of this Dom Salvia show. We will be back in just a moment. The revolution was a lie.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Jess P.S., not Dom Salvia, but he will be back tomorrow. If you are interested in being part of this production, give us a call. Send us a text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Jazzed as hell to reintroduce my guest host, my co-host for the entire show today, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Before we get back into our discussion, we did get a couple texts in. Kurt from Madison saying, Dom, what a slacker. Tell him to get his butt back in the chair. Kurt, Dom is well aware that he needs to get his butt back in the chair. And he was also in need of a little bit of sunshine and key lime pie, aren't we all? We also heard from Brian from Milwaukee. Jess, you got this. You're going to smash it. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for all you do, along with everyone else at Civic Media. As far as what we can do, reach out to your reps, protest, boycott, and vote. Absolutely, Brian from Milwaukee. In fact, we'll be getting to some nationwide protests on today, March 4th. So, Harvey K., you sent me an article. Was that yesterday? Was that 2 days ago? What is time? It was yesterday.
Yeah, I guess it was yesterday. Time, who knows time, right? Anybody know what time it is?
Oh my goodness. Coming from the New York Times, this is an opinion piece, Truths to Remember in a Time of Lies, from Margaret Renkel. And this is one of those really astounding, I think, opinion pieces that not only brings together just an absolute overwhelming amount of information, synthesizing all of it and providing it in forms where you can actually check the work. You can see where these opinions are based off of. It's also just well written. So I do thank you for bringing that to my attention. And I wanted to take some time, the bulk of this hour, to actually comb through it. Because truth matters. And as a professor of history, you know this.
One of the first, truth matters tremendously, and as a historian, it matters a great deal to me. And I've been amazed at the degree to which politicians on the right, going back to Ronald Reagan, have been very effective in hijacking history and not necessarily lying about the past. That's part of ruling class activity, but actually bending and obscuring the kinds of truths that would really empower Americans to pursue the promise of this nation more effectively. And what I mean by that is when Ronald Reagan, for example, was president, he spoke of the wondrousness of America, but he never gave any kind of credit to the fact that what made America great, and by the way, he was the first president who said, let's make America great again, was the fact that in generation upon generation, there were liberals, progressives, and radicals who were willing to stand up, recall the founding promise, and fight and mobilize people in pursuit of that promise. And the conservatives always go out of their way to suppress that kind of reality, that it's not the corporate order that makes America great. It's the progressive movements from below that have made America great.
That's
in
right.
In terms of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep in mind the imperative of truth, even the truth that even liberals have on occasion obscured from us.
Well, certainly. And there's something to be said for the fact that history, as you know, and I also have a degree in history and in classical studies going back a couple millennia rather than centuries. But truth is written by the victors. History is written by the victors. So there's always an element of obfuscation when we look back at what has happened. And as we present to the next generations, this is what has happened. Would you say it's a different thing to be looking at our present and having the lies about our present?
Would I say it's...
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to tell you something, because you did do classical studies at UWM, I believe.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Because you did, I'm not well versed in the classics, but I can tell you that Plato in the Republic warned who the most dangerous people in the Republic were, and they were the poets. And by the way, in ancient Greece, the poets were the historians of the day.
Indeed.
And he said, these are the dangerous people. They are the most threatening. Well, it's always the case that a really good historian, at her or his best, should always have that dangerousness about them.
Oh, certainly. There's good danger, and there's danger that seeks to tear down systems of power or tear down the people. Let's focus on tearing down systems of power that obfuscate what we the people need. So we're going to do a little bit of reading alouding, as Dom calls it, from this opinion piece, Truths to Remember in a Time of Lies. And I'll link this into the show notes, which you can always find at civicmedia.us/shows or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This is an opinion piece from Margaret Renkel. She begins, "The brickbats are meant to knock us senseless. Blow after blow, they bludgeon us. What could possibly keep them straight? Which dangerous changes have already taken place? Which are the autocrats working openly around the clock to enact? Which are still just talk, things that might happen someday after the world order has been upended? And which are intended to be merely distractions, like yelling squirrel in the presence of a rat terrier?
They urge us to pay no attention to the charlatans behind the curtain who are yanking the safety net from beneath our feet, ignoring the rule of law, dismantling American democracy brick by brick, lining their pockets by driving the planet into ruin. We need not know what's happening behind the curtain, they assure us. The wizard will tell us all we need to know."
And we will be continuing on this line of thought, Truths to Remember in a Time of Lies. Please feel free to join us on the lines. Send us a text. Call us at 855-752-4842. My name is Jess P.S. Normally, I am the humble producer of this show. Today, I am co-hosting with Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I see you lining up on the phones. I'm going to screen you now so that we can get to you in the next segment. Come back with us on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For
97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale.
There is a shortage of dispatchers in Brown County, and yesterday, Kirk Parker, who is one of the dispatchers, spoke to the Brown County Public Safety Committee meeting. The county has 15 vacancies for dispatch and leadership positions right now, leading to low morale and stress amongst the dispatchers they do have. Consultants have recommended a schedule change, giving dispatchers 3 12-hour shifts and 1 6-hour shift every week, a change Parker says will cause even more issues with fellow dispatchers. No errors were found in an audit of Wisconsin's voting machines. Jimmy Kuska reports.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission said that an audit of the state's voting machines found that there were no votes counted incorrectly, changed, or missed. The audit's results also showed that no voting machine or software had been hacked or tampered with. The post-election audit involved 336 randomly selected municipalities and over 327,000 ballots, or about 10% of all ballots cast in the 2024 election. It was the largest post-election audit ever done in the state of Wisconsin. The audits are required by statute.
The audit of voting machines is more heavily scrutinized since President Donald Trump and his supporters claimed, without proof, that the 2020 election had widespread election fraud. PFAS is on the mind of the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board, and they'll be hosting public hearings on standards for PFAS contamination in groundwater. At a recent meeting, the board unanimously voted to hold the hearings on proposed standards that mirror Environmental Protection Agency recommendations. The standards would set at 4 parts per trillion for 2 of the most common PFAS compounds and 10 parts per trillion for less common compounds. The current Wisconsin drinking water standards are 70 parts per trillion. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress, to no one's surprise, was Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won 2. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win 4 Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated 6 times and won 5. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Areas of rain tonight and a little breezy. An inch or two of rain likely. Temps fall from the 40s to 30s. For tomorrow, rain mixing with and eventually changing to snow. Temps fall out of the 30s into the 20s and it will be windy. An inch or two of slush. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table? And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada are in place. What does that mean for us at the grocery store? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Out of the blood.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Jess P.S., the producer of this program. Dom will be back tomorrow, I promise. Joining me today for the full show is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. You too can be part of our fine production today by giving us a call, 855-752-4842.
Hey, Jess, you know, the Jess P.S., that's a nice touch. If you want to have an additional, if you want to round that out, it's Harvey J.K.
Oh, yes, it is. Harvey J.K. Indeed, indeed. And that is your handle on Blue Sky, is it not?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Find him on Blue Sky. You can also get that through the podcast notes. I link him every single time. So give us a call. First up on our list, Cindy from Appleton. Cindy, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Jeff? Professor Harvey K. Well, I know we're in a time of major lying and dishonesty, but, you know, throughout our history, we have never been very honest about what we've done to the indigenous people, the Chinese people, the African Americans. Heck, we were picking on the Irish and the Italians when they first came here. We've been a country over the centuries who've never really been very honest.
Well, Professor of American History, what can you tell us about that?
That is true. But I want to add something which doesn't take anything away from what you just said. But it's the fact that if we're going to teach history properly, we've got to remind folks of just how much American history was marked by exploitation and oppression, by tragedy and irony. But we must also teach at the very same time, otherwise we'll just merely cultivate cynicism. We must also teach about the fact that Americans have a remarkable history of resistance, rebellion, and revolution from the bottom up. That has meant that we have, over time, and for, again, all of the tragic and ironic turns, we have brought an end to slavery. We have empowered women. We have enacted civil rights laws to create a greater sense of equality and empowerment of people. We empowered working people back in the 1930s. I mean, we have an amazing history. And by the way, the powers that be today, one of the reasons they go out of their way to suppress and lie about history is because they are afraid of Americans, that it might well be the case that Americans are, as I've argued in writing over and over again, are essentially radicals at heart. The trick is that we have to stop being cynical about the American story and remind ourselves of who we are and how we got here for the better and what the hell we can do to make it even more progressive in the future.
And that is truth. Especially at a time when the teaching of that history is actually coming under attack. So as you all know, I do produce the Dom Salvia Show. I also produce several other programs here at Civic Media, including Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Now, this is a show that is primarily on public education, led by two doctors of education, Dr. Tim Slacker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. And just this past, oh, goodness, that was yesterday. Time really is just sort of a matrix of wibbly wobblies. Yesterday, we released a podcast on a Dear Colleague letter sent out by the Federal Department of Education instructing all public schools to cease all programs having anything to do with DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as teaching, it appears, according to this letter, any history that may make someone feel a little uneasy about their American heritage, the parts of American history that are hard to reckon with, the parts of American history that are ugly, that are frankly evil. There are parts of American history that are evil, and there are parts of American history of which we should be very, very proud. So Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies, two things that America should be very, very proud of. I appreciate this nuance that you've brought to us. And thank you, Cindy, for your call. Any final thoughts on this, Harvey K.?
Yeah, but for what it's worth, I was a guest on Busted Pencils. Oh, maybe a year and a half. I'm forgetting how long ago it was. It's a fabulous show. Anyone interested in education and American public life must try to keep on top of that show. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, give us a follow. Follow us at Busted Pencils on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, Civic Media. Going back to the phones, Wisco Paul. Paulie, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon. You're doing a great job, Jess.
Thanks, Paulie.
And Harvey K. And Harvey K. also. Yeah, it's a little bit of topic here, but I did want to make a point. Something I think Trump has forgot about. The farmers need potash. And where does that come from? Canada. So if they put tariffs, which I think they're going to today, or maybe they already have, you can imagine where food prices are going. You could correct me if I'm wrong on any of that, Harvey K., but that's just my point for today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, watch prices go up. It's already happening. I saw a piece, I think Jess sent it to me about, or one of my former students sent it to me today, about how the price of electricity is rising rapidly in New England, even as we speak, because of the dependence upon certain fuels coming down from Canada. So no, absolutely right about that.
Amongst the truths that we know, tariffs do not decrease the price of goods. And so in that vein, let's return to this opinion piece, Truths to Remember in a Time of Lies, opinion from the New York Times, written by Margaret Renkel.
The first one, the United States Agency for International Development saves millions of lives when he unilaterally and probably illegally gutted USAID by firing staff members and canceling funding approved by Congress. President Trump assured that people will suffer and die, many of them children. And I do want to note, as I told Jess earlier off air, when I came out of my first graduate degree from the University of London, which was in Latin American studies with an emphasis in international relations, it was my ambition to go into the USAID. I had a particular interest in land reform questions. Mm-hmm. And I figured, why not get my hands dirty on the question? Why not go to Latin America as part of a U.S. government effort to help them? I will also add that I discovered in my further studies, there were times when the USAID was anything but helpful to local peasants, to local labor movements, at times cooperating with the CIA and corporate interests. But it is the case that the USAID does provide essential resources to combat polio, tuberculosis, Ebola, and HIV and malaria around the world.
Not to mention famine and the absolute devastation that occurs surrounding that level of extreme poverty, that with those levels of extreme poverty comes desperation. And out of that desperation come movements that harm, that kill. And so having USAID, having an agency that is focused on combating the worst forms of desperation in this world, that strengthens America's standing worldwide. It is a form of, as the discussion has revolved around, soft power, that it's not that we are, you know, arming people, we are not providing weapons, but we are gaining soft power, influence that does matter. Another truth. Vaccines save lives. Now, some people may know, I am working towards a career in medicine. Radio was sort of a very interesting sidetrack that has taken me on some very interesting journeys here. But I'm actually working towards medicine. And vaccines are miraculous. And they don't come out of nowhere. They come from decades upon decades upon decades of rigorous study. Incredible standards that work to make sure that they are safe and effective. And yes, some people do have negative responses to them. And the overwhelming majority of people benefit so far more. Vaccines save lives. Vaccines were able to eradicate polio in this country. Vaccines eradicated measles in this country until they formed a resurgence due to anti-vax movements. And it's important that we remember that truth.
I saw today a piece, Mother Jones magazine or somewhere. I guess it was unfolding the last few days and I didn't know it, that Bobby Kennedy Jr. has been reconsidering his position on vaccines and upsetting the anti-vaxxers across the country.
Well, I hope that he not only reconsiders, but strongly embraces vaccines because they work. They are efficient and they are safe.
I wonder if Trump will call for his resignation from the cabinet.
Now, that would be an interesting turn. But as we know, Trump will abandon any ally as soon as they move the slightest bit away.
The next truth. The human risk of avian influenza is rising. So consider this. Even as bird flu spreads in mammal populations, even as the likelihood rises that it is evolving in a way that makes human-to-human transmission more possible, Trump's team is evaluating whether to yank back funding already approved for developing a vaccine that would protect us against it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, and this is one of those places where our president is working against the Constitution. These are funds that have already been allocated and approved by Congress, which holds the power of the purse strings, and saying, no, actually, we don't need to put money into this because I, in this moment, don't want it. However, there was a playbook when Trump came into office the first time that was established by President Obama, along with guidance from a very functional cabinet, as well as other presidents, of how to handle a global pandemic should one arise. Trump dismantled it. And then lo and behold, a worldwide pandemic at our feet. Now, we have a bit of warning on this one. We know that the risk of human infection from avian influenza is rising. We are seeing cases of it spreading now. We are seeing cases of avian influenza, bird flu, as it is commonly called, spreading to other animals aside from birds. There is a chance here to stop it. There is a chance here to put the science ahead of it. And our president is choosing to yank funding. That is a scary, scary thing. And in a time of lies, it is absolutely vital that we remember our truths. I'm Jess P.S., producer of this program, filling in for Dom for one more day as he enjoys his vacation, here with Harvey K., professor emeritus of democracy and justice studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. When we come back, we're going to continue discussing truth in a time of lies, as well as taking your calls, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Here at the Civic Media Radio Network, we do value truth. And in that vein, we will be bringing you coverage of President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Coverage will start at 7:30 p.m. And if that's not quite to your liking, I will be linking in our show notes an address for We the People's State of the Union, broadcast by 5051, an organization of 50 states, 50 protests, one peaceful movement. We'll be right back here on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show. Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Sturgeon Spirits in Oshkosh, Timekeeper Distillery in Green Bay and Wausau, and Ledge Rock Distillery LLC in Eden. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And let me tell you, being a mom is tiresome. And you need a break. So take one at Mom Prom on Saturday, March 8th at the Hilton Paper Valley Hotel from 7 till 10 p.m. Grab those old prom dresses, homecoming dresses. Heck, there's somebody with a pile of bridesmaid dresses somewhere. And have fun and let loose. You could even get named prom queen. It may be called Mom Prom, but it's open to all ladies 21 and over. So head to WGBW.FM, click events, and find out more.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. No Dom for the day. You're stuck with me, his producer, Jess P.S., as well as Harvey J.K., Professor of Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We are talking truth and truth that matters in a time of lies. We are taking your calls and your texts at 855-752-4842. Now, normally Dom's rule is callers get precedence. However, there was a text that I wanted to get to. Len from Madison says, if there was an actual truth serum and it was given to Trump, it would probably cause a fatal seizure.
Yes.
I am inclined to believe that that might be the case, in fact, because this is a man who has shown that he is absolutely physiologically incompatible with the truth. Now, in that vein, we want to get to callers, but there were two notes that we wanted to end with on this article from the New York Times that I will link to the show notes that I really do believe is worth a read. It's a relatively short article, but it is jam-packed. This is written by Margaret Renkel, posted yesterday. And we're going to pick up right here with two final truths. First one, Mr. Trump said Medicaid was safe from cuts. It isn't. Tens of millions of Americans rely on Medicaid for health care. Its expansion as part of the Affordable Care Act has been life-saving for both low-income workers and rural hospitals. In states that did not opt to expand Medicaid, of which Wisconsin is one of them, hundreds of hospitals have closed. The same will happen everywhere else if Congress cuts funding and states cannot afford to make up the difference.
This one also points to one of the great contradictions of American life, a nation that sadly is filled with contradictions, and that is the majority of Americans want some kind of universal health care in the United States.
Yes.
They do not want Medicare for some, Medicaid for others, private insurance. They want to know everyone is covered. And it is a tragic contradiction that we have yet to see. Even the Democrats have failed. Even the Democrats have failed to come out for national health care of some type, which, by the way, they did for decades following the 1940s. And they've abandoned a fundamental element of the Democratic Party story.
Absolutely. I want to get to this last truth before we go to the line. So callers, please be patient. I do see a Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, this was one of the most abhorrent lies of the past several weeks, in which our president has come out and said that Ukraine should never have started the war in Russia, which, of course, is not only a lie, it is blasphemous. It goes against everything that we have seen that we know to be true, that Russia invaded Ukraine not once but twice and has held hostilities against the country for decades.
Yeah, I just add to that. Number one, the show that that Trump and Vance put on in the Oval Office was all prearranged and practically rehearsed. So his outrage was just literally spewed forth to impress everyone who wants to see that Trump is in charge. Well, he was in charge for the wrong ends. And I also have to say that, you know, domestic policy changes may well be tragic as they unfold, but if we can win back Washington, if we can win back the federal government, we can address those. We cannot so readily address the changes in the world that he is instigating. And it scares me no end to consider what this shift in American policy towards authoritarian governments like Putin's, and I understand towards Iran as well, is coming. So anyhow, keep in mind that this is perhaps the most dangerous of lies, this Russia, you know.
Well, it's not just the lie. It is the alignment with Putin's Russia. It is the alignment with the authoritarian government over the democratic one. It is the show of force of saying, no, we agree with the aggressors here. It is not the democratically elected president who we are going to support here. It is Putin and his oligarchs and his authoritarian regime. And that is a scary thing indeed. Chris from Rice Lake, I want to get your thoughts on this, give you the last thoughts of the hour. What's on your mind, friend?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you guys, you know, I appreciate that you guys are going through these truths and everything, but 77 million people in this country did not care. They did not care. They voted for these crazy people. And if the Democrats don't get their heads out of their rear ends, we're going to have one of these crazy people on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I really think that we need to start pushing this issue that Schimmel and Musk are hand in hand. I mean, we've got to get these liars out of our politics.
Absolutely right. Chris from Rice Lake, thank you for that call. Referring to the April 1st general election for Supreme Court of Wisconsin, as well as Superintendent of Public Instruction, make sure you get out there and vote. Indeed, for Supreme Court, there are two candidates running, Judge Brad Schimmel against Judge Susan Crawford. One of those judges is supported by big money coming from Elon Musk. The other one, Judge Susan Crawford, is supported by We the People. Make your choice and make it count. We'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan and filmmaker Craig Kinnett, who joins me in the studio. That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. imposed tariffs on goods from China, Canada, and Mexico today, and now U.S. imports are also facing reciprocal tariffs. In a few hours, President Trump will address a joint session of Congress on his economic agenda and others, things ABC's Karen Travers says it's centered on the renewal of the American dream.
He's going to focus on four big areas in his speech, kind of dividing it up into sections. I think that's where you'll hear him talk about the DOGE effort to reduce the federal workforce, streamline the federal government. He'll focus on that there. He's also going to talk about the economy. He'll talk about border security and what the White House says his efforts to have peace around the world.
The U.S. paused U.S. military aid to Ukraine following that fallout from his meeting with President Zelensky. Now two sources briefed on discussions say the U.S. and Ukraine could sign the mineral rights deal as soon as today. Mardi Gras celebrations in New Orleans underway but could be hampered by severe storms, including the threat of tornadoes. This is ABC News.
I'm